Father, we thank you for your plans and your designs, your provision. We thank you for your presence and for your moving. We thank you for all that's been done already in this service today. And we look forward to more good feeding from the word. We thank you for these things. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, if you truly receive, you don't keep checking for, did it work? Did it work? Did it work? You just maintain your, I got it. I got it. I got it. It's working in me. Hallelujah. And most of the time, you will see improvement over time. And it's no less a work of God than for those that instantaneously have everything turned around. That'd be great if it was always like that, wouldn't it? Here's why. It'd be a lot less required of us in walking by faith. And that's why everybody wants it to be quick. Come on, Lord, get this over with. I got other things I want to do. Right? Praise God. Hallelujah. But he's interested in that walk of faith, that fellowship together. Amen. So we continue in that. Glory to God. We welcome all who are here and all who are watching as well this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I started to mature in the Lord in the 80s, when the charismatic and healing revival were kind of still going pretty strong. Literally, you could go from church to church or meeting to meeting, special meetings, and there was healing services and meetings. People were going from place to place looking for their miracle. And unfortunately, what a lot were doing was, well, we'll try Brother So-and-so. And if he ain't got it, we'll try Brother So-and-so. And if he ain't got it, we'll go over here by the Hunters. And, you know, they were at the time filling the Rosemont Horizon. And I was one of their trained altar workers for those meetings, you know. And I was laying hands on the sick, too. There were plenty of people who would just go from meeting to meeting, depending on the anointing of whoever the minister was to receive their healing. And I wouldn't say that there weren't some who did not receive, largely because of the anointing of the minister. And there was a move of God going on. Sometimes God just moves. But most of the time, it's required that we walk by faith to receive, right? And so even today, you have people who kind of begin to hear, say, lay hands on the sick, or the gifts of healings, as it describes in the book of Corinthians there, as a gift of the Spirit. And people just, well, let's give this a whirl. Let's try. Let's try. And I knew people back in that day needed healings, needed miracles, and they were just going from meeting to meeting and trying out the different ministers, see if they got it, you know. And that really shows up in things like where we went to Bible school there. They were running what they called a healing school. Kenneth Hagin, Brother Hagin, ministering there. And there were people that would be upset if it wasn't Brother Hagin himself laying hands on them to receive healing. In other words, they thought it's all in Brother Hagin and not in anybody else. Yeah. Well, it's God's anointing, God's word, right. Your faith, yes. And God can move through anybody, especially if you believe. Yes. I mean, you look at the ministry of Jesus, and there were people who said things like, man, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And she was. So it doesn't matter who it is, but people focused on that. And since they didn't build their own faith or walk in their own faith, they were just hoping that somebody had it. And even in our church, years ago, we had stronger flow of that healing. We've had some great miracles in this place. But as a move of God may increase and then wane, and I don't know if it's God or if it's his people, which would cause a pullback like that, but when that move is not on seriously, they would say things like, well, Pastor Dan just don't have it no more. Well, it's never about me.
Right.
It's about faith, building faith to receive. And so the couple of scriptures that we've been really looking at, the first one, Mark 11 and 23, Jesus' teaching says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So we see who does the speaking. The one who needs the mountain moved. That's who does the speaking. And it says, whoever says and does not doubt in his heart. Then verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So it's from a perspective of you believe that you receive the blessing of God. First of all, you have to know what it is, what's been promised to you. Then you invoke it for yourself. And then the problem, the mountain being a problem, the problem being a mountain, you speak to it authoritatively from a perspective of faith without doubting in your heart. James 1, 5 through 7, and here says, if any of you lacks wisdom, it might be wisdom or it might be any other thing that you lack and desire from God. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. And verse 7, it could be, to some, pretty harsh. Verse 7, let not that man, what man? The man who doubts. The man who wavers. The one who is maybe yes, maybe no. The one who says, well, we'll give it a try and see what happens. Says, let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. So Mark told us, does not doubt in his heart. James tells us, with no doubting. So how much doubting is really allowed here? Kind of looks like none. Would you say that from the scripture, these and maybe others? How much doubt is allowable? None. None. So to receive from God, we have to deal with doubts. And to have a doubt is normal, natural. They're pretty easy to come by, as a matter of fact. And if you can't come up with your own doubts, other people will help you. They will volunteer them readily.
Yes, they will.
Yeah. And then when you don't go along with their suggested doubt, they may even get angry about it, that you don't see the truth of whatever they're trying to tell you. Get real. Okay? Right? So there seems to be no allowance for doubt. Well, who can do that? You can. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. Something you have to settle in your heart. We won't go there into scriptures that would teach this morning, but you have to settle in your heart. God would never ask you to do something you cannot do. God knows who you are, what you are, what you're capable of, and all of that kind of thing. We know from the writing in Corinthians, no temptation or testing has come except what is common to man. So first of all, you're not special. You're not unique. We all go through these things. And then it says, God will not allow us to be tempted or tested beyond what we are able. With temptation will provide a way of escape. So any test, any difficulty, any problem, whatever it is, if it comes to your life, God has already examined it and determined where the limits are, and he is not permitting anything that you can't come through successfully. There's a way of escape. Whatever you're in, there's a way out. God has made a way out. Even when you can't see the way out, there is a way out. There is a victory. Man, I could just shout and run around on that one right there. There is a victory. So many things look hopeless. They are not. Well, I can't find hope. I can't see hope. He's the God of hope. Amen. So there is always a route to victory. And it is never that God requires you to do something that you cannot do. Well, I'm going to need help. Yeah, we all do. Every single one of us, to meet the challenge, is going to need help from God, grace from God, empowering from God, strengthening from God. He does not intend for you by yourself to overcome. He intends for you to depend on him. So if you are one who says, God, this is a lot here. I believe you've got a way out, and I believe I can accomplish this. I'm going to need some help here. Well, that's exactly what he expects. Maybe it takes a little bit of humility. You know, you can't say, oh, I got this, I got this. Maybe you have to say, we got this, you know. Remember the scripture, I can do all things. Oh, there's more? It doesn't say I can do all things? I can do with all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, you're going to need some help. Yes, you are. But with help, can you do it? Yes, you can. And in several places, it talks about God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So when we go, oh God, this is just way too much for me. God, I need you. That's humility. And he says, I'm here to help. I will help you. And what you'll find out is it's a day-to-day, hour-by-hour, sometimes moment-by-moment walk of, God, help me for the next 5 minutes. God, help me for 5 minutes after that. God, help me for the next couple of hours. God, help me through this appointment. God, help me through this treatment. God, help me through this or that, whatever it is. And he is present. He told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And you will find he doesn't back up the truck and pour out all the grace you're ever going to need all at once. It's more like he connects a hose to you and he pours in just what you need at the pace that you need it. Amen. So if you want to be one and done, that's not how God is. It's a relationship. It's ongoing. It's day by day and moment by moment, you know. Always being just a breath away from speaking with God, aware of his presence and so on, you know. And I, thinking about this a little bit, realized I'm talking to God all the time. And he's talking with me pretty much all the time. And it's almost like no matter what we're doing, he's sitting next to me. And he's with me. Amen. I went through some interesting flying this week. And thank God he was in the seat in the airplane next to me. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know it was stormy this week, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I went far away and came back. I'm here. God helped me. And boy, I learned some stuff too. Praise the Lord. So our subject is dealing with doubts. And we have put forward that usually it's not a faith problem. How much faith does it take? Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will speak to this tree, say to this tree, right? It's not a lot of faith to receive. It doesn't take a lot of faith to receive. But you have to deal with doubts. So you can receive. Maybe this morning you already received healing in your body, but you're going to have to deal with that in days going forward.
Yeah.
If tomorrow you feel just as lousy as you did today, you're going to have to continue to deal with that. And if you feel lousy tomorrow, it doesn't mean you didn't receive today. It means you're being tested.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And tested by God? No. The enemy just doesn't give up so quick.
No.
He has learned if he persists, most give in to him. So dealing with the doubts. So the last few weeks we've been calling this dispelling doubts. Whatever you want to call it, it'd be fine. Dispelling, removing, getting rid of doubts. And we see from Mark and James, no doubt, no doubt. So doubt is the problem, and we got to deal with doubts. Now Mark said, does not doubt in his heart. And there's a distinction between the heart of a man and the mind of a man. And so Brother Hagin used to say it this way, you can have a head full of doubts and a heart full of faith. So just because your head can think of an objection to why this is not going to work or something like that, doesn't mean you have doubts. You might have questions, right? So there can be questions like, well, God, now how exactly are you going to do this? Or when are you going to do this? First of all, he's already done it. Secondly, the question is, when will it manifest? But does it matter? We are to never enter anxiousness. And how are you going to do this? Not your problem either. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I really made some laugh one time some years ago when there was some kind of turmoil between some ladies in our church and so on. And somebody come and report all this to me, you know. And really, to me, it was gossip. And so I answer, I said, Nacho. The answer is Nacho. Some of you might remember that because I think it spread around a little bit. Pastor said Nacho. What's Nacho? Not your business. It's not your business. So just leave it alone. And if it's something for the pastor, take care of it. Pastor will take care of it. Don't you take care of it. Anyway. So how and when this is going to manifest is Nacho. It's not your business. Because people, well, if it hasn't happened by now, I guess it's not going to happen. Says who? Well, you just did. Amen. I guess that didn't work. So if you wake up tomorrow morning, you don't feel any better, you know, if there's something bothering you, and well, I guess it didn't work. Says who? Well, you just did. So guess what? Praise the Lord. So we cannot allow doubt to remain anywhere in the heart. You may go through a long process of yet thinking, and there may be questions that want entrance into your heart. They want to get in there. They want to plague you. You know, the enemy is persistent. What about this? And what about this? And what about this? What about? And boy, he just goes on and on and on. Over in India, and where they observe particular religious practices concerning animals, and they think every animal is on par with a human, you know, and can't take a animal life and all that kind of stuff. So in their houses, in hot climates, without doors and all that, the cows walk in, you know, and they have cobras, they have snakes, they have venomous snakes, and snakes will come in too. And there are reports of even small children being bitten by venomous snakes because they respect that life and leave it alone, leave it in the house, right? A doubt is a snake in the house. And if you see a snake in the house, don't go to sleep and leave your children in their beds. It's everybody up and everybody get after this snake, and we are not resting until it is dead, killed, and out of the house. Amen. I mean, I was shocked and horrified. I read in a couple of accounts of that where people get snake bit because they won't interrupt the snake. So a doubt is a snake in the house. And it has to be gone after, like, you know, you turn into a wild man or a wild woman. Kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it. Shoot up the house.
That's right.
Killing that thing, right? I've seen some people that way about a mouse, but no, we're talking about a snake. Something deadly to you. Doubts and unbelief, we looked at some scriptures before, are often referenced by Jesus as the cause of failure to receive from God. You know, several times he asked, why did you doubt? And then in his hometown, he could do there no mighty work because of their unbelief. So Gospels are just loaded with that, where Jesus himself was limited in ministry because of unbelief and because of doubt. To me, it was just a great revelation the Lord showed me about Peter walking on the water. Because the question that I'd never asked before was, what were Jesus' intentions in calling Peter out in the water? In his response to Peter afterwards, why did you doubt? Of course, Jesus caught him. So Jesus didn't intend for Peter to walk out on the water and drown. Jesus saved him, even when Peter was failing. But why did you doubt? In other words, Jesus didn't intend for Peter to doubt. To a lot of us, it would be something like, look, I'm Jesus, I walk on water. Who do you think you are, thinking you're going to walk on water? Did Jesus say that to him? No. No. So just fast forwarding a little bit, we can tell wherever Jesus was going to walk on the water, which was to the opposite shore, because they're struggling with the boat. And when you can walk on the water, who needs a boat? And Peter's out there with him. So the two of them are going to walk on. I'm quite certain Jesus intended for Peter to accompany him the rest of the way to shore. And I don't know, in such a scenario, it should have been the next guy, whoever. Right. Well, if Peter can walk on the water and get out of his boat, so can I. And that boat should have emptied, and all of them just walked ashore. What were the intentions of the Lord? What are the intentions of God? The intentions of God are that you step out where you're not supposed to be able to, but you're supported by His Word, and you go to the destination in a supernatural way. God's intention, if you're sick, is your body healed. That's His intentions. But you can sink before you get there. So when we're talking about doubts, I thought maybe it'd be good to throw in some alternate words. Other things that you might as well just say what they are, they're doubts. Alternate words to describe doubts would be things like concerns. And it's just a nice way of saying, I have doubts. Are you doubting? No, I'm not doubting. I'm just concerned. Right? Or worries. Well, we know the Bible is not supposed, it tells us we're not supposed to worry. So again, a lot of times when people, they're doing a real good job of worrying. No, I just have a concern. I'm just afraid that. You're afraid? You know, I mean, we got 1,000 ways of prettying it up how we say it. But truth be told, they're doubts. You can call that doubt, that snake, a nice one. Oh, that's a nice little snake. You know, some years ago when my granddaughter Jenna was a bit smaller, we were riding out behind my place there going alongside a farm field. And out in the field, this was no crops in the field at that time of year, I see this skunk scooting along, right? And the field was a little bit soft, and we're riding a four-wheeler, me and two of the granddaughters. And I think to myself, I'm going to let them see a skunk up close, you know, so they really know. So I left them on the four-wheeler and took off on foot. And I'm going to circle around this skunk and just kind of slowly herd that thing back close enough to them so they get a good look at a skunk, right? I don't know, would you do such a thing?
No.
Sometimes I'm adventurous. So this skunk sees me coming in, hightails it away. Well, now I'm running. And it's just a little bit slower than I. How far am I going to have to run? So I'm running and doing my thing. Finally, I get out ahead of it and moving it back and all of this. And I look up, and here's my younger granddaughter, Jenna, closing the gap between the four-wheeler where I left her and that skunk. And now my concern is she doesn't understand really what that is. She's going to get close, and that's all I need is to bring her back to her parents after the skunk let's loose on her, right?
Yes.
And besides, skunks known to carry rabies and all that kind of thing. So I'm going to keep my distance. I'm not sure she can move fast enough. You know, she's a little one. So Jenna, stop, stop, stop. And I kind of abandon the skunk corralling and make sure she's okay. And I talked to her a minute, and I thought, I could still save this situation. I did get that skunk turned around and got it close to the granddaughters, and they got a look at it. But when I'm telling her, stop, 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 you don't want to get anywhere near that skunk, she says, he looks like a nice one. And maybe he did. So we still laugh about that, you know. He looks like a nice one. So anyway, there's no nice doubt. They're not innocent little doubts. Because they work at you and work at you and work at you until you succumb to them. So concerns, worries, nagging thoughts. Even if you never say to anybody, I keep having this thought, I keep going over and over in my mind, you know, what if this doesn't work? What if this, you know, nagging thoughts are doubts. Anxiousness, unsettledness, and even what some would call legitimate questions. Those questions or those thoughts, whatever you want to call them, have to be answered or addressed or responded to. You remember a few weeks ago we looked at two questions. One was Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. The angel Gabriel appears to both of them and announces miraculous births, right? So similar announcements to both of them. And we looked at their two questions. And Zechariah, he says, how can I know this will be? And the angel Gabriel tells him, well, now you're going to be struck mute and you will not speak until he's born. So that seems kind of like a punishment, right? For asking the question, how can I know this? Mary receives an announcement similar from Gabriel, and she asks, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And we looked at that pretty close. One was asking a question of, how can I believe? The other one, believed, was asking, what's the mechanics of this thing? I'm just curious, how's this going to work? I'm not married, haven't known a man, how's this going to work? And she has no punishment. In fact, she's blessed further in that. So one's a question of believing. The other is a question of just how it may play out. One's a fair and honest question, and the other is a question of faith, a question of believing. So you might be able to separate the two and ask questions. But you have to be sure that if it's a question of how can I know, how can I be sure? Asking God for a sign. Well, Zechariah, you want a sign? How about this one? The angel Gabriel comes to you. Is that not a sign? How can I know? Brother, that's Gabriel, the messenger of God. So he should not have struggled with that, right? So when there are questions, first you got to separate which is a legit question. Or is it a question of, am I questioning something even if I believe? Because if you're going to believe, there can be no questions, right? Inside of our own minds and our own hearts, we must clear the space. We must clear the house of the snakes. As long as those snakes are there, you're under threat. You understand what I'm saying? You could be a heart full of faith, and yet there's a doubt in the house, and that one doubt is enough to keep things from working. You can tell if your space is clear, heart and even mind, by the level of peace that you have. If there's something that kind of has you a little bit, pick your word, a little bit nervous, a little bit anxious, a little bit of concern, a little bit of worry, or a little bit of sleeplessness, or it just keeps going over in your mind. And I will tell you this, concerning believing with and for Pastor Sandy, it's on my mind a lot. And I'm tempted to pick up a worry a lot. And every time I have to answer that, I have to address that. And as you successfully do that, it becomes less and less and less. And its power to threaten you becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And you can get to the place where you go, oh, it's you again. And go about your business, right? So your level of peace, Hebrews 4:1, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Already we can see if you mix faith with the word of God given you, you will enter the rest of God. A sense of peace and well-being and satisfaction, even joy and happiness are available when you're going through tough stuff. That's the rest of God. And it's moved into by faith. Right? Verse 3 says, for we who have believed do enter that rest. And three goes on, but that's what I want you to know here. You can measure how much doubt is affecting you by your level of rest. And if you sense your rest is being interrupted, if you're getting a little anxious and so on, well, you got something to deal with. Identify it and address it. You're going to have to bring out some word and put that thing down. Romans 15:13, please. Now may the God of hope, I think I mentioned that a little bit earlier. He is the God of hope. You fellowship with God. He's the God of hope. You know, you hang out with people long enough, you start becoming like them. That's why you want to be careful who you hang out with, right? You hang out with God enough, you will become a person of hope because the God of hope is affecting you. You're starting to walk, talk, and smell like Him. And hope, this word hope is confident and favorable expectation. And we don't have time this morning to teach that, but a precursor to faith is hope. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So just from that right there, we know hope is not seen, but there's evidence displayed in faith. Faith is the substance of things expected, things hoped for. So hope comes first. You know, before you can ever receive a blessing, healing from God, you have to have a hope of it, right? So He's the God of hope. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. If you're not in believing, even the God of hope cannot fill you with joy and peace. When your faith is operating, you will find access to joy and peace even when going through tough, tough stuff. I found this sense of joy and even peace, even though I was fighting the big, big battle. Even in the worst of times when we were in the hospital in those first few days and weeks with Pastor Sandy, I think this was one of the things that aggravated the doctors so much. I didn't respond in the way that they were used to, they were accustomed to seeing. And the only way that they could interpret that was is somehow I just didn't understand the seriousness. I didn't get it, right? But I had a joy and had a peace and a certain normalcy about me that didn't fit how serious the issues were. Anyway, when you're believing, there will be a sense of peace and even a joy. Amen, even a joy. While she was in the hospital, we as a family, we would go to lunch, and it might be a two-hour lunch, and we enjoyed being together. As I told everybody from the beginning, we are not doing a death watch. Amen. Amen. So there's a particular verse that the Lord's been speaking to my heart over and over and over all week here. It has to do with this subject we're talking about, dealing with doubts. Go with me to Isaiah 26, please. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. So if having dealt with doubts and you're in faith, you have peace, you have joy, that's your target. That's what you're after. If you're not at peace on a thing, then you've got some work to do. You got to dispel doubts. You can pray, Lord, just take all these doubts from me. But no, He doesn't do that. You're going to have to answer them, deal with those things. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says this, you, meaning God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Now, I've been on that one all week, just going over and over and over and over and over in me. And I've done it many times successfully, and I must continue to do it. When something upsets your peace, when a doubt, when a snake, when a thought, whatever starts to try to come in the house, It is time to put your mind back on God. Say, no, I'm not going to think about that. No, that's dangerous. Thought, doubt, you're not coming in. My mind is reserved to stay on God. And I like where it says, because he trusts him. And I can tell you, in dealing with questions, now for Pastor Sandy, today, what's today's date? Is it 18? We're close to 24. At the 24th, it will be 2 years and 6 months since she received this injury. Now, naturally speaking, they would tell you, this is it. It's permanent from here on out. But I reject that. I utterly reject that. So it's a time question. When? Well, if not by now, I guess it's not going to happen. That's the thought. That's the snake. Right? And so how do you answer that? Well, Abraham was 25 years. Right? Am I volunteering for 25? No, I'm not. And a thought of 25 is a little bit difficult to grasp. Right? So how long? How long? It's a question that will occur to me and to you. When will this happen? How will this happen? How long, Lord? All that kind of stuff. And people get tired and they declare, I can't do this anymore. Yes, you can. You just need to go to grace one more time. Amen. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to help in the time of need, trouble, whichever translation. Are you in need? Are you in trouble? Go boldly to the throne. Get what you need, mercy and grace. Lord, this is eating my lunch. I just need some mercy, some grace to go from this. I receive it now. I take it now. Okay, what do I need to do? Well, get up and go about your business. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. You'll make me able to go about my business. Because he trusts. I have countless times answered thoughts, answered doubts, big and small, whatever they are. I have countless times answered them by saying, often out loud, Lord, I trust you. I leave unspoken. You know, I don't know the answer to that. And I don't let it bother me that I don't know the answer. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Question occurs to my mind. Lord, I trust you. I don't have the answers on some of those things. I don't know. And I don't have to know because I trust him. And so what do? I stay my mind. You got to get a hold of your mind. That's where doubts enter. And if you don't deal with them in your mind, they will enter your heart. And Mark said, does not doubt in his heart, right? So that battle's going to be in the mind. And that's where those things will appear. And that's where you're going to have to stay your mind, keep your mind, guard your mind. Do you recognize other scriptures talk about these things? Guard your heart, keep your mind, renew the mind. All of this stuff. Here Isaiah says, stay the mind. You know, if you're training a puppy or a dog, there's one thing that you want to train it, stay. Sit. You know what stay means. Dog, sit there and don't move from there. So you may have to tell your mind, stay. Don't you move from trusting God. So God keeps an individual in perfect peace who keeps his mind on God, and keeps his mind on trust. One who can say, I don't know all about that. I don't know the answer to that. And all of that stuff, all I know is I trust him. All I know is I trust him. You read the book of Job and the troubles he went through, and now Job had some of his doctrine wrong. He didn't understand some things about God properly. But Job said, though he slay me, and it wasn't God who was doing that work. It's very clear in the book of Job, it was the enemy, it's the devil. But Job, thinking it was God, said, though he slay me, what does he say next? Anybody remember it? Yes. yet will I trust him. God's killing me, and I don't know why, but I still trust him. That's what Job was saying. Now, he's wrong about who was doing the killing, but it's admirable that he still trusted God. And there have been some weeks ago, we taught on this, when things go wrong, what then? There have been in our lives some things that have gone wrong, some things where it was did not turn out as God's best or what God would intend for us. And sometimes there's questions, why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did we lose this person? And some of those kinds of things. Those are very real questions, right? It needs to be answered with, yet I trust him. Yet I trust him. Yet I trust him. In time, we can ask God all those questions, right? But now is not the time. Yet I trust him. Amen. Amen. So you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So, when we lose our peace, or we have a measure our peace and say, there's trouble here, it's an indication of a doubt or something that needs to be addressed, we are to answer that thought, that doubt, that question with the Word. And Jesus was our example. He was tempted by the devil himself, 40 days, 40 nights, all of that. And he answered with the Word. And not just any word, the appropriate word. I find this, the more I read and study the Scriptures and grow in the Lord, and the more Scripture I have in my heart, the more precise my answers are to various things. And I have built over the years an arsenal of weapons to answer things. Amen. Even this morning, reading in the Psalms, you know, have any trouble sleeping? The Psalms declares that he gives his beloved sleep. Well, I'm his beloved, so I'm going to sleep just fine. And I have a number of times, if I wake up and I'm, you know, thinking on something or something wakes me, kind of troubling thought, that kind of thing, I just will say out loud while I lay in bed, you give your beloved sleep. And I'm your beloved, so I'm going to sleep. Amen. And I do. Go right back to sleep. So you have to know how to answer things and answer them with the Word. And not just any word, but the right word. Sometimes we're not able to answer those questions that we have. As I mentioned, how and when are two good ones. When are you going to do this, God? When are you going to do this? I can't believe it's been so long. When are you going to do this, God? That's a dangerous question. And one that you need to answer again and again. I trust him. When the enemy says to you, when's this ever going to happen? You say, I trust God. I trust God. And I have found for a lot of my questions, it comes down to this one thing. I trust God. And that's often the answer. That's often how I drive that snake out of the house. I just trust God. I don't know what you're talking about. And you can take your thought and go somewhere else with it because I'm not having it in here. I trust God. Yeah, but what about, don't matter, I trust God. Oh, what about, don't matter, I trust God. Amen. Even well-meaning believers, Christians, they ask questions, you think you should try this and that and so on and so forth? Well, if God tells me to, I will. Well, it's supposed to help. Well, maybe it does. I'll do it if God tells me to. But the reverse of that often is people are always looking for what treatment, what medicine. Let's try this, and let's try this, and let's try this. And maybe that's okay to try some things, you know. That's not a problem. But I trust God. And if I need to do something, you know, for her, if there suddenly is a new drug that will do this or that, you know, God will tell me about that. We'll come across that. And then the Lord will say, go to this place, see this doctor, something like that, you know. And sometimes he does things along those lines. You know, we can get help medically. Don't ever refuse help. Amen. And call that faith. Unless God tells you, don't you go to that doctor. If he tells you that, then fine. Otherwise, go to the doctor, right? So often our answer is, I trust him. Hebrews 11:11 says this, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. Now, this is Sarah's, Abraham's wife. So the promise was to the two of them, they'll have a son. And she plays a part in this, of course. And it says, she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, earlier we read that she laughed. Me? In my age? Have a son? And she laughs. Right? She eventually got rid of that snake in the house, dealt with that doubt, and regardless of her age, she made a decision. Wait a minute. God is faithful. He's been faithful in this. He's been faithful in this. And he was faithful this time. And then, boy, Abraham, you really made a move on that one, and you kind of messed that all up. But God was faithful to get us out of that. You know, one of them, I'm thinking twice. He claimed, that's my sister. And lets a king take his wife, right? And God got him out of that. Can you imagine being her? My husband gave me up. She didn't judge Abraham faithful. She judged God faithful. Right? So she had these experiences, and she finally judges him faithful to his word. She judged him faithful who had promised. Two things people usually need to answer. Is God able? And after you're sure God's able, is he faithful to do what he promised? The second one's harder. The first one's a question of the power of God. The second one is a question of the nature of God. And you will be pressed and tested to figure out both of them. And when you're sure God is able to heal you, you're not done. Because you have to become sure God is faithful to me in his promise to me. And he's faithful to me. And if he's faithful to me, then it has to happen. And this is something that I say to Sandy very often. God is faithful. He promised, and I'll repeat the promise from Jeremiah that he gave to us. And I said, he's faithful. We can depend on him. He's faithful. So she judged him faithful. That judgment takes place in the mind. Maybe in the heart, maybe you could say that. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. So we're talking about driving out doubts, driving out fears, concerns, worries, anxieties, snakes. Drive them out. You might need some weapons to do that. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Sometimes people think, well, that's a spiritual stronghold. It's very clear from these verses, they're strongholds in the mind. And a stronghold is a barrier, a fortress. It's something that stands between you and victory. And it's become strong. And it's difficult to remove. But the weapons of God are mighty and pull down strongholds. Reading on, it says, casting down arguments. Doubts are nothing but arguments. So when you're believing God, considering his promise and all that, you will think of, well, this is what God's promised to me. Yeah, but argument comes. I saw Sister So-and-so got healed. Yeah, but you won't get it. Arguments. So the weapons of God are for tearing down or casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Scripture says he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals. And anything that gets in the way is a high thing that must be brought down. It says bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Here's our task, and we've got the weapons to do it. Bring your thoughts into captivity, and when you doubt, when you question, when you have concerns, when you can't explain, all of that, bring those thoughts under control, cast them down, kick them out, answer them, and if you got no better answer than this, this one will do. I trust him. How is this ever going to work out? I don't know. I don't have to know. Doesn't matter. I trust him. Amen. God's not limited by what we can figure out. So we are talking about faith to receive, but then after that, you're going to have to deal with the doubts. You're going to have to deal with the thoughts. And you're going to receive, but the manifestation comes as we, whatever time is necessary, deal with doubts. Clean it out, clean it out, clean it out, clean it out. The bottom line is this, that you cannot leave doubts floating around unaddressed. It is not an equation of, I hope I have more faith than doubt, back and forth. I think we see pretty clearly in Mark and James, other places, you can't just have more faith than doubt. It's a little bit of faith and no doubt. In other words, answer every objection. Answer it with the word. If you don't know how to answer a doubt, you better find out. Can't let it be. You can't let it be. Can't let it be. And you don't have to look any further than Jesus. He answered with the word. Answered with the word. So if there's something that needs to be addressed and you're not sure what's the scripture say about that, you better find out. You better find out. I don't know about you, but I read my Bible daily. I read sometimes good sections, you know, sometimes just a chapter, but often a number of chapters, maybe many. And it's all about putting tools in the bag. And there's a lot of things that I read it today and doesn't seem to make a significant impact on that day. But later on down the road, I recall it. Something comes up and I got an answer. And Jesus did tell us that the Holy Ghost would put us in remembrance of the things that He has said. Isn't that right? Yeah. You got to know the things He said so they can be recalled. Yes. Amen. So read your Bibles. And as you do, you're making deposits on the inside. Well, I don't memorize them. I don't know if I can remember. Or, I read my Bible and I don't remember a thing I read. Well, that may be true. But it doesn't matter. It's like the spaghetti sauce. It's in there. Those ingredients are in there. So you keep doing that, and you will find God is able to bring that out of you, and there's an answer comes forth from your mouth. Don't leave doubts unaddressed. When you talk about great faith, and Jesus mentioned a couple that had great faith, it was more along the lines that they had some faith, and they addressed the doubt and just didn't let doubt get in the way. Amen. Amen. So this is what we need to do. No matter what it is, no matter how large the need is, no matter how big the miracle in the body or how much money and those kinds of things, man, God's been teaching us here at Renew Church concerning the whole thing. He told me, build, 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 and we've been building, and the money has, scary amounts of money have been needed and required, and it comes. Amen. It comes. I couldn't figure out how to do this. And so we're building a momentum and experience. Experience is a big thing. Look at what we've been able to do in the last couple of years with this building. Just hundreds of thousands of dollars, all paid for. And one of the reasons I mentioned that is we're about to do something with the parking lot there in terms of some pipes need to be put in to take water away and all of that. We're in the area of civil engineering now. $9,000 just for the guy to do the plan. That seems like a lot of money to me. And they're telling me, parking lots, now you understand. I don't even know how scary much that's going to be. But anyway, God is faithful. So I'm just telling you, the snake that's trying to come into my house. How are we going to? Well, God has shown Himself faithful in these things. So whereas before, like we recently did a new air conditioner in the back, that new unit, and it's $11,000 just to buy the unit and all that kind of stuff. Whereby we used to do special offerings and all that kind of stuff, It's been a while since we've done any special offerings, hasn't it? I'm thinking it's a year, year and a half, maybe more than that. And we've done some mighty things. God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. So one of the things I'm telling you here is he will demonstrate his faithfulness in an area where you grow, and then you say, if he's faithful here, he's also faithful here. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And one of the things that occurs to me, well, why are you going to build all this wonderful building for just such a few people? You don't need all of this space and all these people, you know. Well, remember Pastor Webb when he was here and he had that word, you will not be ashamed of what you're building. We're building because God is faithful. He wouldn't have us build just to have a monument of some kind, you know, here, or just so Pastor Dan can say, man, look what I built, or anything like that. There's a reason. He's faithful. And there's going to be need of a large auditorium and all that for what's coming. Amen? God is faithful. God is faithful. So just deal with those doubts. And you might try this. You don't necessarily need to see me, but with each other, those of you that hang out together, you know, this thought keeps coming. How do I answer it? And believers help one another. Well, you know, there's a scripture that says this, and you know, we were having trouble with the plumbing inspector one time over a drinking fountain that's back over here. One of my brothers in ministry, I was at a meeting, he says, oh, you need Thessalonians, whatever it was, I can't remember, where it talks about God deliver us from wicked and evil men. That man's wicked and evil, trying to get in your way and cause trouble over the drinking fountain in the building. He threatened me with jail over plumbing code, which he approved the ruffian, but now that the fountain was actually there, now he's, you know, and you violate the code and you know you could go to jail. So we prayed that, deliver us from wicked and evil men, and he dried up on that one real quick. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you can get help from each other how to answer a thing. Somebody's been through what you're going through now. And they have worked out those answers, and they can tell you how to do some of these things. Amen? What the scripture is that you need. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and bless you for your word helping us today. And we declare all our needs are met. We have abundant supply. Our bodies are healthy and strong. Our minds are filled with joy and peace. And we thank you for this. All comes from your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Seems like I had witness to mention this today. Just for anybody who might want to. You might not see Pastor Dan ever put anything in the offering. Does Pastor Dan give? Oh, absolutely. What we did is set up an automatic withdrawal from my account. So every week, I never even think about it. It's just, I think my bank mails a check. Is that right, Lori? Bank mails a check every week. So you might not see it, but man, that's the easiest thing to do. So I don't even need to think about it. My check is coming every week. It's convenient. It's easy. You can do something like that if you want to. And it's a good way of making sure you don't put God second or third, because that's going to come out of the account, right? Put God first. Put God first. Amen. Praise the Lord. May you grow, prosper, be in health and strength. I don't say it as a wish. I say it as a command. Follow God, and these things are yours. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless.